This is a true story, and it is about a man by the name of Robert Robinson. It took place in London, England, in the 1700s. He was walking through the streets of London, England, one Sunday morning, and he was surrounded by lots of people who were scurrying off to church, all dressed in their finest attire and all excited, and the bells were ringing in London, and they were echoing off of the walls of the buildings. And Robert Robinson did not find himself in that happy place. Instead, he was feeling very lonely, because it reminded him of a time in his life when he used to go to church, when he used to be close to God. But at this point in his life, he had wandered away from God. It had been years since he had attended a service, and he had gradually grown cold to the faith, disillusioned, and spiritually on life support. As he was walking along the streets, he heard from behind, clip-clop, clip-clop, clip-clop. It was a horse-drawn cab. And he thought, well, I'll flag it down, and he waved to it. But when he waved and looked, he discovered that there was a lady already in the cab, so he waved the cab to go by. But the lady saw him. She asked the driver to stop. She leaned out the window, and she said, sir, I will be happy to share my cab with you if you wish. Are you going to church? And something within him said, yes, I'm going to church. Well, come in. So he got into the cab, and they started on their way, and they made introductions to one another, and he introduced himself. And she said, wow, what an interesting coincidence. I know that name. And then she reached in her purse, and she pulled from her purse a book of inspirational poems. And there was a ribbon. She opened it to that ribbon, and she said, I was just reading a poem by a man by the name of Robert Robinson. Is it possible that it's you? And she handed him the book of poetry. He looked at the page, and he said, yes, I am the person that wrote that. Oh, how wonderful, she said. I'm so excited that I'm meeting the actual poet. Imagine that I have the opportunity to meet you. But he didn't hear any of that, because he was looking at the words that he had written years earlier as if he was hearing them for the first time. And these are the words that he wrote. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. And then his eyes began to fill with tears, and He went down the page with his eyes, and he saw these words. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Now the lady watched his tears, and she instinctively knew what was going on inside of him. She took the book and she said, Mr. Robinson, you also wrote these words. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Mr. Robinson, she said, you can offer your heart to God again. It's not too late. And when she said that, Robert Robinson wrote that the Holy Spirit filled that cab, filled his life. He recommitted his life to Jesus Christ, and he never turned back again. True story. When one of God's children wanders away, God understands, and God forgives. But he longs for that child to come back to him. That's why Jesus gave three wonderful stories, three parables, all about wandering from God and being lost and redemption, and they're found in the 15th chapter of Luke, all three of them. This chapter is called by some people the gospel of the gospel. It's called the good news of the good news. And it's the essence of what Jesus Christ came to say to us. I'm going to talk about all three of these stories. I'm starting with the first one about the lost sheep in Luke 15, verse 4. It says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Now, does the shepherd say, oh, one of my sheep is missing. That's okay, I got 99 more. No, that's not what he says at all. Have you ever taken maybe two or more of your grandchildren to maybe the zoo and one of them wanders off and gets lost in the crowd? Do you look at the others and say, it's okay, I got some more? Of course not. You move heaven and earth to go find those grandchildren. Your heart leaps within you. If you are lost from God, you know it. And God knows it. Verse 5. And when the shepherd finds the sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Sometimes when a lamb would wander off and the shepherd would find him, the experienced shepherd, and I'm sure you probably know this, the experienced shepherd would do something that sounds very cruel. He would get the lamb and he would break its legs. And then he would place it around his shoulder because it could no longer walk. And he would carry that lamb until that lamb was healed. And that is the image of the good shepherd. God is willing to put you on his shoulders and carry you until you are healed. Verse 7, I tell you that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, when Jesus first shared that story, he was talking to the Jewish Pharisees. They were the uptight, I almost said Presbyterians, I'm glad I didn't say that. They were the uptight people who were always the rule followers. They were obsessed with keeping the law, and they condemned anyone who would dare wander away from God. They would have said, there will be joy in heaven over the one sinner who is obliterated off of the face of the earth. And Jesus said, no, there will be joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents and comes back to the fold. Is that you? Do you need to hear this basic message today? Jesus went on to a second story, because one wasn't enough. In Luke 15, it's the story of the lost coin, and it's in verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, why was that woman so intensely happy to find one lost coin? Why was that coin so important? The people who were listening to Jesus talk about this in the days of Jesus understood this story better than we would. Here's why. In that culture, a woman did not wear a wedding ring. In that culture, a woman wore 10 silver coins on a chain around her head. And she lost one. It was expensive, but even more so, it was priceless. Have any of you ladies ever misplaced your wedding ring? Did your heart come to your throat? You had to find it, sweep the house, and look for it, and look for it. I don't know how it is in your house, but let me tell you how it is in ours. And I'm glad Elizabeth is not able to be here today for this. One of us says, I can't find my keys. Or maybe it's my glasses. Or maybe it's my cell phone. or an earring, or a pill I'm about to take, and a search begins. And sometimes we will get out a flashlight, and we will shine the flashlight behind the sofa, under the chair, in the bedroom, all over the, you know, in front of the dresser. We will look everywhere, maybe on the kitchen floor. Where is that pill? Where is that pill? I don't want the cat to eat that pill. I know that pill is here somewhere. Does any of that sound familiar to you? I can hear God saying to his Holy Spirit, one of my children down there is wandering and lost. Would you please shine your light brighter because they need to see the way back? And I can just hear the Holy Spirit saying, of course, Father, of course. So along comes a kind lady in a horse-drawn carriage to remind you of something you wrote in your heart long ago when you said, here's my heart. Lord, here is my heart. Take it and seal it for your courts above. And Jesus said, all the angels are going to rejoice. I bet they sang Handel's Hallelujah in heaven. The Pharisees thought that the only way that a sinner could be returned was for him to crawl back in shame, praying for mercy and hoping that he might find it. They would never, ever have thought of a God who would light a lamp, who would sweep the house, who would search and search until he could find one lost sinner. That was mind-boggling news to them. Are you familiar with Yo-Yo Ma? Yo-Yo Ma is considered by many to be the greatest living cellist today. People say that when Yo-Yo Ma plays the cello, that tears come to their eyes uncontrollably. One of the secrets is the instrument that he plays. It was handcrafted in Vienna in 1733 by Montagnana, and that is like saying it was a Stradivarius. And get this, all you business-minded people, it is worth $2.5 million. It has a sweet singing tone, and he played a wonderful concert in Carnegie Hall in New York City on October 1999. And at the end of the concert, he was utterly exhausted. He went to his hotel to sleep because the next day he had to play another concert under the Brooklyn Bridge outdoors. So at 1 o'clock the next day, he got his cello in its case. He went and got a cab. He put the cello in the cab's trunk, and they went to their next location. 18 minutes later, he paid the cab driver. He got out of the cab. He walked away, and he absentmindedly left his cello in the trunk of that car. He was struck with horror. And what I'm going to do next is I'm going to read to you what was written in the New York Times. All the thunderstruck musician had was a receipt for his ride, which had the taxi's medallion number on it, which he gave to hotel security officers. They alerted the Midtown North Precinct on West 54th Street, which put out an all-points bulletin to patrol cars around the city to hunt for the taxi. They also contacted the mayor's office, which in turn called the taxi and the limousine commission. Close to 3:30 p.m., the 108th Precinct in Long Island sent a patrol car to the taxi's home base. It just so happened that the taxi driver was getting off work at 4 p.m. With worried police officers and curious taxi drivers standing by, the driver opened the trunk of his cab, and there was the rare instrument in its oversized blue plastic case. The police called Mr. Ma at 4:15 p.m. to say that they had retrieved his cello safely, clearing the way for his planned performance that night under the Brooklyn Bridge. And awaiting it eagerly, he was not alone. By 4:30 p.m., the city was abuzz with television news crews. Meanwhile, a worried-looking Mr. Ma sat in the reception area of the Peninsula Hotel, wearing blue corduroys and a sweater, and talking on a cell phone. Outside, the growing crowd was worthy of a presidential motorcade. A horde of reporters, police officers, hotel security staff, and gawking passersby jammed 55th Street with cars spilling into the intersection of Fifth Avenue. "Who's coming?" a woman called as she rolled down the window of her Mercedes. "The chill," someone else said back to her, and everyone cheered. No one gave up looking for that priceless cello. It was too valuable. The whole community came together with concern about that instrument, and everyone cheered when it was found. There is great rejoicing among the angels in heaven when one of God's children repents. Now here's the third story. Jesus wasn't finished with them. He added this. It is one of the most beloved stories of the entire Bible. I know you know it well. It's the story of the lost son. There are three main characters in this story. There's the father and there's two sons. And the younger son practically said to his father, "Dad, I wish you were already dead because I would like to have my inheritance right now." Now that was shocking to the ears of the Jews. They considered it not only shocking, they considered it greedy, immature, disrespectful, and unforgivable. Have you ever asked God for something that was greedy, or disrespectful, or impatient? If so, God may have done with your request what this father did. He granted it. Because he knew that what you really needed was to learn a lesson the hard way. And as you know, that's exactly what happened to this younger son in this story. He wandered far away from God. He wandered from his father, and he squandered his inheritance, and he lost everything, and he tried to fix it, and he couldn't, so he decided to return to his father, crawling back and begging for his father's forgiveness. "Even allow me to be a hired laborer." That is when Jesus gave those unforgiving Jewish ears a picture that they could hardly believe. Verse 20. "So the son got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him." He didn't just stroll out to see him. He ran to see him. He couldn't wait for his son to get all the way back. He met him halfway. What an awesome picture of love and grace and forgiveness. That is good news. That is great news. And God wants you and me, all his sons and daughters, he wants us to simply come home to him. If you have wandered away from God, he wants you to come home. And like the father in that story, God will put a ring on your finger as a symbol of authority. And he'll put sandals on your feet as a symbol that you belong to the family. And he will throw a banquet for you, just as the father did in that story. That story is called the parable of the prodigal son. But that may not be the best name for it, because the word prodigal has two meanings. One of the meanings of the word prodigal is exceedingly, recklessly wasteful. Now that's the son. But another equally valuable definition of that word prodigal is extremely generous. And that is the father. This could be called the parable of the prodigal father. Brothers and sisters, God has lavished his love on you, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness on you, and you do not deserve it. You don't deserve his generous gifts. You should be crawling back to God in shame, and instead God runs to greet you and welcome you and rejoice that you've come home. Now listen to the words of this prodigal father in Luke 15:31. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. There was a child who loved to play hide and seek with his playmates. Did you like to play hide and seek when you were a child? It's fun, isn't it? But you know what was even more fun as children? Playing hide and seek with your daddy. Most children, many children enjoyed that the most. You know, there's this anticipation of, I've got to find a place where daddy can't find me. And then there's this excitement of knowing he's finally going to find you. When is he going to find you? And when he does, pow! There's squeals and giggles and all kinds of joy because I was lost, but now I've been found. Hide and seek. When you play hide and seek, it's fun, but when you try to hide from God, it's sin. Inside, you feel empty, you feel discouraged, you feel cold, you feel depressed, you know something is missing, and that you need to have it back. You just can't seem to get a hold of it. You need to pray the prayer that Robert Robinson prayed. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. If you have not committed your life to Jesus Christ, then you are lost. You are lost. And I invite you, I encourage you, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to come to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior, your Lord, your Redeemer. And I would be thrilled after this service to sit with you and talk with you about it and pray with you. It will change your life forever. The fact is that most of you in this room have given your life to Jesus Christ. And so to those of you who have, I want to say you need to recommit your life to him. Lord, how often do I have to forgive? Infinity. Lord, how often do I need to recommit? Infinity. I invite you. I encourage you. I urge you to give your life back to him again. And do that before you leave here today, because you should never assume that you will get to it later. You should never assume that you have another hour, another minute following this service. Do it now. Would you bow your heads with me as I pray? Heavenly Father, you know the secrets of our hearts. And Father, you knew before this day for whom this message is intended. You knew who needed to hear these words. I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to them right now with your divine assurance that they are loved by you. Hallelujah. And Lord, now hear us as we sing together this great hymn, a great hymn as a prayer. In Jesus' name. Just as I